John Finnemore Souvenir Programme. No, but look, four of the world's five biggest cities are now in China, so...
What, is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
Name them.
I can't name them, but it's true, I read it.
What, bigger than New York?
New York's not the biggest city in the world.
Well, what is it?
I don't know, Delhi?
It's Tokyo.
No, there's no way Tokyo's bigger than Delhi.
No, it is Tokyo, I looked it up on my phone. It's Tokyo.
Oh. Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
And just like that, the conversation died. Died? No. Murdered. Another victim chalked up to phones in pubs. That's why we at the Campaign for Real Pub Conversation say, not just pub quizzes, all pub chat should be conducted under conditions of artificial ignorance. Look at this chap. He was just about to pick somewhere really ridiculous, but which sounded just about plausible, to pretend he believed was the biggest city in the world, so that he could enjoy arguing that it might be, and everyone else could enjoy mocking him. Where would it have been?
Havana.
Havana! What a brilliant, stupid argument that would have been. All gone now. Gone the same way as the potential 40 minutes of fun the table next door could have had trying to work out how the ink in Kindles works. Or the full hour that the two blokes at the bar would have enjoyed trying to remember Angela Lansbury's name. So remember, think twice before you Google. You could be killing a chat.
Sam, I've updated the costings. They're in the shared drive.
Oh, thanks, Nick. That's great.
No worries. Oh, by the way, while you're here, will you sponsor me?
Hmm?
You remember, like, last year when I walked the Great Wall of China? Raised nearly £200.
Oh, yeah. Of course. What's it for?
Cats.
Cats?
Yeah, that have got ill.
Oh, dear. All right, then. What are you doing this year?
I'm going to the Bahamas.
Right, what... Sailing there?
God, no. Flying.
Right, but when you get there, there's some sort of activity.
Oh, there's loads. There's windsurfing, scuba, there's a club for the kids. It's going to be great.
Okay, sorry, I don't... What am I sponsoring you to do?
To go to the Bahamas.
What, on holiday?
Yes, I did last year.
Right, but that wasn't a holiday, was it?
Yeah, I had a fantastic time. Just put your name there. Most people are giving about 20 quid.
Sorry, why would I sponsor you to lie on the beach?
Why? Because of the ill cats.
But, I mean, with the Great Wall of China, at least it was sort of gruelling, you know, a physical test.
Oh, yeah, but I love that sort of thing. Wait, hang on, are you saying you thought I'd have a horrible time?
Not horrible, but, you know, challenging.
You only gave money to charity because you thought I was doing something I'd hate.
I wouldn't put it like that.
Is it not bad enough that the poor cats are ill? You want me to suffer too?
No!
Oh, well, I could give money to charity, but only if my friend has a horrible holiday.
No!
What kind of monster are you?
Oh, all right, fine. I'll sponsor you.
Thanks. So 20 quid flat payment or a pound per pina colada. hello?
Hi, John. It's Laurie.
Oh, hi, Laurie.
Why do you sound surprised?
Well, I wasn't expecting you to call, particularly.
No, but your phone flashes up who's calling, doesn't it?
Yes.
But I know you've got my number in your phone.
Yes.
So you knew it was me?
Yes, all right, yes, I did know. But I learnt to use phones before they all did that. And so now, for some reason I don't entirely understand, it feels rude to admit I know who's calling before they announce themselves. So, I've just carried on pretending not to know. Which also, by the way, allows me to express flattering surprise and pleasure on hearing your voice. And the system, Laurie, works perfectly well, so long as no one draws attention to it. And now, you've ruined it.
sorry.
Yeah, well, it's too late to be sorry. Now, every time I see your caller ID, I'll be reminded of this phone call, and I'll have to answer with a kind of sheepish, oh, hello, Laurie. And that will in turn remind you of this conversation, and then we'll both feel awkward every time you call me for the rest of our lives. And it could all have been avoided if you just allowed me to carry on pretending I don't look at my phone when I answer it.
Right. Well, all I can say is, for God's sake, don't mention this in your radio show, or you'll have the same situation with everyone you know.
Of course not. I'm not a complete idiot.
Dear guest, did you know that every day 60 billion gallons of water are used to wash towels in this hotel alone? So, in the interests of the environment and that, please use the following system. Towels in the bath mean please change. Towels on the rail mean I'll use them again. Towels in the sink mean surprise me. Towels balanced over the door mean I'll surprise you. Towels in the trouser press mean you will meet a stranger. Towels on the bed mean sleepy towels. Towels under the bed mean sneaky towels. Towels in the sky mean the end times are at hand. Enjoy your stay.
Now, what we have here, Kirsty, is one of the most iconic images of all time.
Oh, are you all right, dear?
Well, I just do wish people wouldn't constantly call everything iconic. I mean, the word has a meaning, you know. It's not just a catch-all term meaning, oh, you probably recognise it. Everything has to be superlative these days. An image can't just be memorable, it has to be iconic. If it was actually an iconic image, it would be...
It's a painting of the Virgin Mary on wooden board and would have hung in a Russian Orthodox church.
Oh, right, fine then.
Okay, sir, is that comfortable?
Yep, that's fine.
All right, now, there'll be a series of sounds on the headphones, and every time you hear a sound, I want you to press this button, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Don't press the button. Don't press the button. Don't press the button.
Did you not even hear that?
What? The voice.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you didn't press the button.
Well, it said don't press the button.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter what it says. Sorry, I thought I was clear. I said every time you hear a sound, press the button, didn't I?
Yes.
And that was a sound, so...
Right. Oh, I thought because it said don't press the button.
Oh, no, ignore the words. No, it's just to test your hearing with the human voice.
Right. Why would you have it say don't press the button?
I don't know. That's just what comes with the machine, so... Don't listen to the words, just... If you hear a sound, press the button.
Okay.
I mean, otherwise we can't get a proper diagnosis.
Yeah, no, I understand, sorry.
It's fine.
Don't press the button. Please, don't press the button. I'm begging you.
Ignore the words. Excuse me, hello?
Yes?
There was a scream.
Oh, so you did hear it?
Yes, I did.
Right, but you didn't press the button. I'm sorry, have I not been clear about how this test works?
You have, you
if
have.
You hear a sound.
Yes, yes.
A tone, a voice, a scream.
Right, yes.
I think there's some bombs dropping. Just whatever it is, press the button.
Right. Only, you hear about these experiments.
What experiments?
You know, psychology experiments, where someone in a white coat tells people to inflict electric shocks just to see if they'll do it.
Well, I mean, okay, look at it this way. If it's a hearing test, no one's really getting hurt, are they?
No.
And if it's a psychology test, no one's really getting hurt either, are they?
No.
So whichever it is, you might as well just keep pressing the button. Okay?
Okay.
Good.
Press button to launch nuclear strike on China.
Well, look, it's a two-man show. That's the reality. I'm not kidding myself. He's the one they've come to see. That's fine. But the fact remains, it is a two-man show, as it happens. And I'm actually on for longer than he is. Quite a lot longer. And I'll tell you something else. It sounds boastful, but it's true. When I'm on, they're riveted. They just stare at me. And remember, all I'm doing is standing there. Just standing there. And they cannot take their eyes off me. Then he comes on, doing his walk. Of course, they love it, but they're off. He doesn't hold them, not like me. That's why I must admit, it does rankle a little bit that he gets his own theme music. Oh, God, here it comes now.
Hey, guys, it's safe to walk. Over you go. That's it. Have a great day.
Showboater.
I've adored you since the moment I first met you. When I floated down beside you in the zoo, I knew at once I never could forget you. You do something to me that nobody else can do. Very different. Did you feel the same as me when I landed on that sunny afternoon? Did you look beyond the surface and know we were meant to be? Do you think that you could love me even though I'm a
Somebody, please help me. I think I've been missold PPI insurance. Oh. Isn't there someone somewhere who'll offer to help me?
I mean, the thing about this village is that it's literally one of the most vibrant communities you could ever visit.
Oh. Are you all right, dear?
Well, it isn't. It isn't literally vibrant. And why must everything and everywhere be constantly described as vibrant anyway? The word has a meaning, and it doesn't mean what everyone seems to think it means. Not unless the place is constantly shaking.
You see, we got the M1 one side of us. The main goods line on the other, and the whole place is just constantly shaking.
Right, fine, fine.
Yeah,
Here in Ilford, on the outskirts of London, Ken and Alice Fogarty have set up an unusual environmental concern.
Hello, come in. Mind your feet.
Actually, mind everything.
Oh, yes, I see. Shall I sit here?
No, not there. Maybe... Actually, you're probably best just standing.
And keep your hands in your pockets.
Yeah, and your trousers tucked into your socks.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. So, am I right in thinking this is the world's only working rat sanctuary?
Yeah, we think so. If there are any others, they're keeping it quiet.
Don't blame them.
Yeah, so, talk me through it. How does it work?
It's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Really, it's like any other wildlife sanctuary, only specifically tailored to rats. We take the rats in mm-hmm. if they're injured or sick or
if they just turn up.
Yeah. And we feed them and care for them, and then eventually we release them back into the wild.
Mm, and is that difficult?
No.
It's not difficult at all. It's very easy.
It's too easy.
Too easy?
Yeah, in as much as the rats are, in fact, constantly releasing themselves into the wild. Pretty much independently of us. And on the other hand, the ones in the wild are constantly unreleasing themselves into our captivity.
What he means is there's rats in and out all the time. Constant traffic of rats.
Yes, because I'm puzzled. Rats aren't endangered, are they?
Well, no, not as a species, they're not, I grant you. But, individually, each rat is one of the most endangered animals on the planet. Everyone wants to kill a rat. Dogs, cats, other rats.
Me.
Yeah, well, humans, obviously, the greatest threat of all.
That's not what I meant.
I know. So, we provide in this sanctuary a place where the rat can come and know that for once in its life, no one is going to kill it.
However much they might want to.
And do you make much money out of it?
Do we make much money out of our house full of live, wild rats? No. No, surprisingly, we don't.
No, we have tried raising money by charging people to come on rat encounter days. It's not been a big seller.
At all.
No, even when we offered people the chance to, get in and actually scrabble about with the rats, didn't really take off.
Yeah, turns out it's on very few people's bucket lists. Scrabbling with rats.
So it's clearly a difficult undertaking. What is it that attracts you to rats?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So why set up a rat sanctuary?
Well, it's a horrible job, but somebody's got to do it.
Have they?
Well, yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, it's a really horrible job. Look.
Yeah, no, I can see, but why does anyone have to do it?
Oh, God.
You see?
I just assumed. I mean, it's such a horrible job.
15 years, I've been telling you.
Just assume somebody had to do it.
15 years, but no, you wouldn't take it from me.
Such a horrible job.
Someone's got to do it. That's all you'd ever say. Someone's got to fill their house with rats.
Ken and Alice Fogarty, thank you.
Will the train manager report to the driver?
Will the driver please report to the train manager?
Will the train manager please report to the driver?
Will the driver please explain why the train manager always has to come to him?
Because the driver is driving the train.
Yes, and the train manager is managing the train.
The driver knows that, and the train manager does it very well. But the train manager can do that anywhere, whereas the driver kind of really needs to be at the front.
Is the driver not aware that the bloody thing is on rails?
Now the train manager is just being silly.
The driver is very controlling. The train manager hopes the driver realises that.
The driver does realise that. Specifically, the driver is right now controlling a massive train.
Oh, ha, ha. The driver's a comedian. Sometimes the train manager really hates the driver.
The driver knows the train manager doesn't mean that, but it's still very hurtful.
Oh. The train manager's sorry. Of course, the train manager didn't mean it. The driver knows how the train manager gets sometimes. The train manager will report to the driver straight away.
The train manager doesn't have to. It wasn't that urgent.
The train manager wants to. He wants to see the driver's silly face.
Loves the train manager.
The train manager loves the driver too.
Next station stop is Hinckley. Hinckley, your next station stop.
Yeah, we don't want to close down, but the truth is we can't make a living. It's a real catch-22 situation.
Oh. Are you all right, dear?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm sure the man's right.
Yeah, so I want it, really, because we really wanted to make a success of it, but that's not how it's turned out.
Oh, are you sure you're all right?
Yes.
That's the very real irony. But the hard fact is, we're getting less and less customers. Selling fewer and fewer beer.
Oh!
Are you sure you don't want to say something?
No, I have nothing to say.
And to be honest, we're literally between the devil and the deep blue sea.
No, you're not! Even if you are on the coast, which I doubt, you are certainly not literally next to the literal devil. And I can't stand it when people say literally, when they mean...
And you know, both of those two pubs are more successful than ours. Oh!
And now on Radio 4, it's time for the afternoon drama. Saying the plot out loud.
What a hectic day. Alison, Mr. Hopkins just called to say make sure you get the very important presentation done. He needs it today.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I'm very busy already, and this new task will make me busier. But I'll do my best because my career is very important to me.
Yes, I know. Also, your son's school has called. Your son has bumped his head, and it's not serious, but really you should probably go.
Oh, no, poor Timmy. I love him very much. But what about this presentation for Mr. Hopkins?
Crikey, Susan, you're in a dilemma.
That's right, I am. I find myself torn between my duties at work and my duties as a mother.
Yes, I thought those were the things you were torn between. Couldn't your husband go?
Oh, no, Gerald is too busy. Although, why should I always be the one to drop everything? All right, you've changed my mind, and I will call him, though it's unusual for me to do so at this hour of the day.
I do enjoy our affair, Ashley. You give me so much that my busy wife never can.
Yes, well, for one thing, I'm a man.
Yes, I know. That's one of the main things I had in mind. Oh, no, my phone.
I'll answer it, shall I?
Well, no, don't do that. We're having an affair. That would be ridiculous.
Hello? Gerald's secret boyfriend speaking. How can I help you?
Why would you answer it like that?
Shush.
Well, if it was me, Claire, I'd cut his balls off.
Oh, Karen, you're such a plain-speaking friend of mine.
Yes, I am. More wine?
Yes. Oh, Karen, my feelings are so confused and interesting. I'm very angry with Gerald, but then I think maybe it's my fault. I know, I'll become a nun.
No, I think that would be a false resolution.
Yes, okay, I won't do that.
Maybe instead you should talk to your husband's lover.
Talk to him? That's the last thing I want to do. Although thinking it over, perhaps you're right. I will. Thank you, Karen. Things are always so much clearer when I talk to you.
Well, I do have a unique perspective on this sort of thing. Because after all,
I used to be a man myself.
Yes, I know. You're another example of how complicated people can be.
Hello, I'm Ashley. You must be Rachel.
That's right. Thank you for agreeing to meet me in this coffee shop.
That's all right. Can I get you a coffee?
You get me a coffee? That's hardly what I expected. But then it's been rather a day for shattered preconceptions.
Oh, really? Explain more about what you just said.
Well, if you must know, you're not quite what I expected.
I suppose you expected me to flounce in here in a sequined tiara, did you?
Well, that is what all gay people are like, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry to shatter your preconceptions again.
No, that's okay, go ahead.
But actually, it isn't. Although I am a gay person, I used to be in the army, and I like sport.
Gosh, people are complex, aren't they?
Yes, that's what I've been finding on my emotional journey as well.
Your emotional journey? Mm-hmm. That's yet more food for thought. I haven't been thinking of you as a human being.
Oh. How have you been thinking of me?
Well, as the other... Oh, I almost said the other woman.
Well, I'm certainly not that.
No. How funny. Even at this peak of dramatic stress, there's time for laughter.
Yes, that is funny and interesting and moving. Another coffee?
What? Oh, yes, I'd forgotten we were in a coffee shop. It was so loud when we came in, but now it's almost silent. What about this one?
Oh, yes. It looks very good on your hips. Buy it, Sophie.
I think I will. You've got a very good eye.
Well, yes, although I'm a non-typical gay man, I'm still very good at fashion.
And I bet you like musicals, too.
I like some musicals, but not others.
You are so three-dimensional. You know, Ashley, I'd never have thought at the beginning of this experience that I'd end up going clothes shopping with my husband's boyfriend.
Well, people can change in surprising ways when faced with conflict, Helen.
That's an interesting insight.
Yes, I know. Oh, by the way, what happened about Mr. Hopkins' presentation?
Do you know, my priorities have changed so much, I don't even care anymore.
You go, girl! And what about your kid with the bumped head?
Yeah, he's fine.
Lucy's Complex Dilemma was written by the BBC DramaBot 5000. And if you've been affected by any of the issues in the play, then God knows you've had them painstakingly clarified for you now.
John Finnemore's souvenir programme was written by and starred John Finnemore, with Margaret Caborn-Smith, Simon Kane, Laurie Lewin and Carrie Quinlan. Original music was by Susanna Pierce and the producer was Ed Morrish. And John Finnemore's souvenir programme will be back at the same time next week, unless he receives a quarter of £1 million in unmarked bills. You have 7 days.